Texas, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Thursday to everybody.
Happy Thursday.
Wheeler is out until Monday. He is taking his kids to a baseball tournament.
Have fun.
That's one way to put it.
What if they were all his kids?
Just a bunch of little redheads.
He just didn't mention it until now.
Loud talking Wheelers.
I asked him one time if he ever thinks of the kids on his team as like his own children, and he was like, "Of course I don't. That would be weird." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I guess maybe."
It's a classic Andrew question.
And a classic Wheeler answer.
Yes.
Yeah. I could have told you the answer to that one. Pretty easy. So, it's just the three of us for today and tomorrow. We have a good show today, though. Brad Young will be with us at 2. Brad's always great. Ricky Horton at 2:30. Wiggins is back at 3. He was a big hit last week. Elam's in at 4. And we usually just kind of screw around with Elam. But I really want to talk about Amendment 4 and 5. You know, like I find them really interesting. And I've heard Hancock and Kelly debate it. I kind of want to, you know, kick it around with us. So that should be fun. Let's start with this. I was thinking about last night. There are people alive right now who have never been lost. Like young people who have always had a phone and their parents always had a phone. And they've always been able to say, navigate here and, you know, do this and do that. And they've, like, I have, and I'm sure you guys have, I have many times growing up where I did, been out on old country roads. They all look exactly alike. And you're like, he said turn left at the barn, but every corner has a barn. And like, that's a human experience to be really lost. Like, it's going to take me a while to figure out where I'm going. And there are people who just never experience that.
It's true.
It's weird.
It is odd.
Mm-hmm.
However, I always say, I don't think I would have been able to have this career if I was not born in this exact time. Because I really needed GPS to get around.
Uh-huh.
Like, basically anywhere.
Yeah.
I know the city so much better. I've lived in the city 10 years now, so now I'm like, okay, I pretty much know where I'm going. Like, I feel like I could navigate to a lot of places without Google Maps or whatever. But those first couple of years, whoo!
Yeah.
I had no clue what was going on.
I really like being lost. Like, not in a real way, but if I'm driving somewhere and I try to take a new route and I realize, like, I have no idea where I am. I've never seen this area before. That happened to me in Chesterfield not that long ago. Mm-hmm. I just had absolutely no idea where I actually was. And it's like, I don't know. It's kind of, now that I know that I have the, like, fallback of, like, you know, a satellite map in my hands at all times, there's something, you know, it's kind of quaint.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I guess you just got gas to burn.
Nowhere to be. Yeah, I haven't ridden my motorcycle in a couple years because Phoebe saw a guy fly off a motorcycle and catch on fire and die. And it upset her. So I told her, okay, I'll take a break. And I just haven't done it. But for years and years, living out by the wine country, I would go out on all those, like, double F, you know, double O roads, really not knowing where I was. Now, I had my phone, so I could have figured it out. But that was lovely, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, you just pull up and find, like, a greasy spoon restaurant, stop, you know, get a burger, and those good times. Which I don't do anymore because Phoebe saw a guy die.
So you guys think of that as, like, a good feeling?
If it's controlled,
yeah,
like,
okay,
yeah,
you're
like,
not actually lost,
right?
Yeah,
it's not good. Lost.
It's not fun to be like hopelessly lost in like a strange area and really don't know how you're going to get to where you're going. But if you have the ability to find out and you're choosing instead to be like, well, what's around this corner? That's kind of fun to me, at least. And then you look at the gas prices and you go, oh, I've made a horrible mistake.
Teresa brings up the new Little House on the Prairie for Rach. Are you going to partake?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I was waiting for today, July 9th. I kind of lost track. Yeah, today's the day. It may have come out yesterday. I got my dates all mixed up. No, it premieres today.
So
Teresa's on it.
I watched it. You know, everyone did. And I watched I wasn't much of a Walton's guy.
Me neither.
But I, for some reason, I have the most effed up TikTok you've ever seen. It runs the gambit. And for some reason, I'm getting like Little House on the Prairie and Walton's. And I just have to say, both of those fathers were complete monsters. Complete a-holes.
Huh?
Yes.
Why do you say that about Michael Landon?
He was constantly mad and trying to fight someone over wheat or whatever it was. And just, yeah, he was just an a-hole.
He's standing up for his family.
Pa in the books is like a total sweetheart. Yeah. A wonderful man.
Michael Landon, no. And then the Waltons guy.
What about Mr. Walton?
He was way worse. He was just a constant a-hole.
I'm going to look up. Is Mr. Walton a bad man?
I don't remember like any storyline from the Waltons. I just remember
they only had one.
Well, at the end of the episode, they would just do that exterior shot of the house. Like, that's all that comes to my mind when you say Waltons.
So that was the show where they do the, like, good night, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
Good night, Billy.
Yeah. And you really wonder, like, was that how everyone was, like, in the 30s? Everyone was just mad all the time?
Well, they shot it in the 70s.
No, but it's based on the 30s.
The Waltons was?
Yeah.
Little House was like the 1880s.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the Waltons was in the 1930s?
I think so, yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, like I said, I didn't watch it, so I could be wrong about that, but yeah, it wasn't like in the 1800s or the 1950s.
Yeah, you're right. It's the life of a Depression-era family.
Boom.
Oh. No offense, why would you make a show about the Depression? It's one thing to make a movie, but like every week I'm going to tune in and see how depressed
everyone
was.
Still got no food.
Yeah, it doesn't sound fun.
It was called The Depression. We had a rough idea of what it was like.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom was born in 27, and she tells these stories that, not stories, like she's lying, but, you know, she was a seamstress, and she learned to sew because they would get flour sacks or potato sacks. I forget. Oh, I think flour sacks. And back then they used to make flour sacks with a print on them because people would make clothes out of them. Mm. And that's mostly what she would wear to school, is she would make her own dresses out of flour sacks. Sounds made up, doesn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
You had to be resourceful back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love Little House. I love the books. They also did like a Rose Ingalls Wilder book series following Laura Ingalls Wilder's daughter.
Yeah.
And there was like a big thing where, okay, so back then women covered their ankles, but if you're a little girl, your ankles could be out. So it was
seems
like
wrong.
Well, it was like, it's kind of like when you're a little girl and you run around without a shirt, it's not a big deal up until you reach a certain point. So it was like Rose wanted the long dress, but Laura Ingalls Wilder was like, oh, no, you've got like one summer left. And she guilted her mom into letting her get the long dress. And they were like so stressed out about the extra 3 yards of fabric that was going to take to make the dress.
Hmm.
It's the kind of stuff I enjoyed reading as a child.
Yeah, you.
I loved
you
hardship.
You were something. Yeah.
Hardship.
He really
labor.
Did. Did Half Pint Sister Mary go blind from looking at the sun?
I don't think it was from looking at the sun. She had, I feel like she had scarlet fever, and that's what caused her to go blind.
Where did I get that?
What? Looking at the sun.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it was like that on the show. I don't remember the show storyline.
Huh.
But no, she had an illness and then she went blind. Now, on the television show, Mary finds a young man and they fall in love and they get married. That I don't think she ever got married in real life. They took a lot of creative liberties with the 1970s Little House on the Prairie. I'm pretty excited for this new version that Teresa and Emily on the stream are talking about, because it seems pretty close to the books just from what I've seen from the trailers and stuff.
Was there a rapist clown?
Not in real life, but on the show, yes. There was a lot
of
weird storylines.
Seems like taking quite a liberty.
Yeah. Like I said, the fact that they lived in Walnut Grove for like the entire show, that's super false. That was a very short period of time in Laura Ingalls Wilder's actual life. They moved around all over the place.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned a lot about Little House on the Prairie.
It's fascinating. I have not seen the show, so this is all like...
Does it intrigue you?
No, but I love...
She went blind from looking at the sun.
I love hearing about it out of context, because I tell you what, I know that in context, it's a sweet show about growing up on the range, and out of context, it is the most insane, hysterical thing about rapist clowns and fighting dads and going blind from staring into celestial bodies.
Yeah.
And I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, I never read the books because they were in books, but... Like the show was kind of crazy.
It wasn't. I actually just saw an art. I almost sent it to you, Dave, but it was an article written the other day about. It was like a fever dream. The show from the '70s.
Yeah,
just all the different storylines.
Didn't Ma almost have to cut her hand off?
It was her leg.
She's gonna cut her leg off.
She had like a bad infection, and Pa was out of town for whatever reason.
Of course he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How convenient.
Yeah. Thanks for nothing, Pa, as usual.
He was out fighting.
Yeah, he was at a fight club.
You and Mr. Walton out kicking people's asses. Did you have a crush on the brother?
Albert?
Yeah.
No.
No? He was a cute kid.
Let's see this fool.
He's fine. I think I could do a little better than Albert.
On the show? Mr. French?
I didn't have a crush on anyone on Little House.
Manly?
That's not what it was about. It wasn't about that. It was about hardship.
It's not, sewing, it's not what it was about. Look, I know I was a little freak. But it didn't matter what it was about. I found someone to have a crush on.
No, I mean, I mean, maybe I had like a brief crush on Albert, but it's not something that stuck in my head in any way.
All
it was not a real crush.
All right.
Yeah.
Not like Jared from Zoom.
So it was more of like a any port in a storm situation. Life was hard back in those times.
Well, Albert didn't exist, by the way. Completely concocted for the show in the 1970s.
Like Cousin Oliver.
Right, sure. I mean, the entire Brady Bunch was fake, but for Little House, they just made up a kid that they
adopted.
Cousin
Oliver was not canon.
Unlike the real life Brady.
But he like eventually becomes addicted to morphine, and that's a huge storyline on the show.
Did he kill the rapist clown?
He was heavily involved in the episode. I don't think he murdered him. No. But he...
Talk about a twist of... flip of the script.
I feel bad that this is the segment.
Having a lot of fun.
The clown episode, Albert was like hanging out with this girl. They were like kind of boyfriend and girlfriend.
Did that bother you?
No, it didn't.
Was it Sylvia?
I don't know.
So it says here the rapist Irv Hartwig, who wore
Let's
a clown
stop
mask.
Stop saying that word.
Sorry.
Please.
The man Irv Hartwig, who wore a clown mask, corners Sylvia in a barn trying to attack her. Albert Ingalls arrives, pulls Hartwig off of the ladder, and then. It's Charles, Sylvia's father.
That kills
Charles
him.
Charles Ingalls. Runs in and shoots the...
It's not Charles Ingalls.
It's right here. Oh, arrives with Charles Ingalls and shoots the attacker.
Craig says, where's Wheeler when you need him? He would have shut this down
a long time ago. The important thing
Craig,
to
you're
remember...
Craig, you're on thin ice, so you better keep your mouth shut.
The important thing to remember about the clown episode is it was completely unnecessary. There was not one drop of that was historically
accurate.
That's
what we need to remember?
That was just what the producers and the writers said, you know what, this is going to make a good episode. It's going to make a good episode.
Do you think, real question.
Yeah.
Had they been faithful to the boring books, do you think the television show would have made it?
No. No, it was the 70s, so you're competing with like Charlie's Angels.
That's true.
And they're all running around doing whatever they were doing. You had to kind of try to up the drama.
I feel you.
They can't be crossing the prairie in the cover.
I'm thinking about going back and watching
episode.
It again now. Human race, the celebration. It's the blue skies up there waiting. And today is the day. This are kind of why I'm a dork, because this is the kind of stuff I grew up listening to before I discovered actual rock music, and I still love it. Like, this is Orleans, the one to do You're Still the One, which I think we're playing next.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I grew up on this pop bull crap, and just I thought this was like heavy metal.
This is real music. This is real rock and roll.
I just want to do some stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And then we left the show on a cliffhanger yesterday when we said we were going to do the white people phrases that non-white people love, right?
Yes.
And so we'll do that when we come back for the bottom of the hour. Can't shortchange that. Okay, stupid stuff. Last night I was eating popcorn, and I don't think I've ever eaten popcorn in my life that I didn't choke, because I'm a choker. And you get, here's my question, is it a popcorn hull or a popcorn husk that gets stuck in your throat?
I've never heard of hull before.
I've also never heard of hull.
Please let there be one person on the stream who's as white trash as me and called it popcorn hulls. I could be making that up, though.
Because a hull would be like
a peanut.
Like on a boat. Because a peanut I would also call a husk or a shell.
So hull has nothing to do with food.
No, it does, Dave. I just Googled it.
Vic says hull.
The popcorn hull is the hard outer shell of the kernel. It's actually essential for popping because it traps steam until pressure builds in the kernel.
I was right about that. I was right about the clown. I was right about Rach being in love with Albert.
Oh, my gosh.
So then it is the hull, then. That would be the proper thing to call it.
Yeah, how does it feel to be so wrong?
I've never been this wrong.
Yeah.
Now, I really also... bad. Okay, so husks are also hulls. So we're both right.
Okay. I can live with that.
Back on top. Yeah, I can compromise.
We are so back.
Well, have you got them caught in your throat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
As a kid, I used to panic. Like when you get something, like when I get something in my eye, I just knew this was the rest of my life. Mm. Like there's no way this is coming out of my
eye. Ooh, this is going to bother you, Dave.
Uh oh.
A couple weeks ago, I was having a problem. My eyes were getting really dry during the day.
Yeah.
So then when it was time to take my contacts out at night, I couldn't get them off my eye.
Yeah.
So I tried to like put contact solution in there. That wasn't really helping. I'm trying to like close my eyelid and like move it around with my finger. After a while, I just put like a bunch of contact solution in there and then like kept my eye closed and it finally loosened. Yeah. But just the fact that the contact can get stuck like
yes.
that. And when you're trying to unstick it and it's not working, I feel as crazy as I've ever felt. Like,
yeah.
I'm just basically trying not to have a meltdown.
Ugh. I remember it's when Nick got his contacts when he was probably 12 and went to some place in Kirkwood, one of the like, you know, chain places. And the lady said, I'm going to take him back and work with them. You don't need to see this. Because I guess it was going to be so, you know, touching your eye for the first time and all that.
It is hard the first couple of days.
Let me ask you this.
Couple of days.
I have a memory, core memory, fourth or fifth grade. One of my friends went running across the playground because in my memory, his contact lens had gone down into his cheek. Did I make that up? Is that possible?
I think it is possible for it to get down there, but the thought
then they
of
shouldn't
it-
even make them.
The thought of it like happening rapidly is a little weird.
It was the playground. We've been together since way back when. Sometimes I never want to see you again. How can I tell that story that just happened? That was really funny. Okay, I was offering Andrew drugs that he's not prescribed for.
As you guys love doing that with each
other. As he offered to me last week. And I said, yeah, the pills are just a little too big for my taste. And Andrew goes, do they go in your mouth?
Do they go this one or the other one?
Are there pills? I mean, I've made that rectal joke so many times in the show, but are there pills?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, they're called suppositories.
No, I know that, but I mean, like, a suppository to me is a suppository. Like, it has one function, it's made of gelatin, you put it up there so you can go.
I think there are specifically pills that are that shape, but yeah, I believe there are.
Well,
like...
you know, there are people who can't swallow,
mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know.
Yeah, the thing about taking a pill that way is it's going to happen a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe I'll start.
Yeah, gotta be careful about that kind of thing.
If you are vomiting and can't keep stuff down,
yep.
Acetaminophen and anti-nausea medications can
okay.
can be done that way.
That's how I got my first one with the Light Bright.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was throwing up.
Yeah.
7 years old,
mm-hmm.
wearing my skin tight yellow St. Louis Football Cardinals pajamas, and my mom and dad brought home a Light Bright, which should have been my first red flag because they just didn't bring home toys. And they're like, yeah, why don't you cozy up there on the couch and play the Light Bright? Maybe make a clown face. And then they're like, you know, it'd be great. Why don't you lay on your stomach and do it? And I'm like, this is getting a little weird, but okay. And I'm just about halfway through that clown's hat. Suddenly, pants are down, butt cheeks akimbo. They didn't warn me. They didn't tell me what this was. They were just doing it.
Ain't that always the way?
I don't think they achieved.
No?
I think my defenses were pretty sound.
Okay.
Yeah. Glovers can clench their butt pretty good.
I'll tell you that.
So yesterday we left you with a cliffhanger. Rach, you just set it up.
Okay, I saw this on BuzzFeed. It's basically people who aren't white sharing their favorite stereotypical white people phrases. Now, obviously, it's not limited to just white people. It's just kind of a funny way of putting it.
Yeah.
These are more so like just dorky things people say. I say a lot of these. Let's start with newsflash, buddy. That one's good.
And that has to go back to like the
40s. Oh, yes. Like
right?
all of these are like kind of old timey in that set. Like you could hear these in Back to the Future or something like that. Get a load of this guy. That's a fun one. Who died and made you king?
Uh-huh.
Someone said, you can't just waltz in here. You're barking up the wrong tree, buddy.
Yep, that's a good one. I like that one.
I like this one. Oh, that is rich coming from you.
Mm-hmm. I've used all of these
within the past
15 days. Yeah.
Someone said, my white dad says, I've had it up to here while holding his hand over his head.
Uh-huh.
You're on thin ice, Buster. Screw you and the horse you rode in on mm-hmm. is top tier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, tough guy. Dave, you say this one, I don't give a rat's ass.
Oh, yep.
Oh, yeah.
I say that a lot.
Okay, this one.
This is just me driving home every day talking to myself.
Well, here's a good one. Every white person that has come back for their car keys, not going to get far without these. let's see. You're
My
cruising for a bruising.
Yep.
What's that, Andrew?
My dad's a big fan of when they drop off the check on the table. You go, oh, but we were getting along so well. That's a classic.
I can totally see your dad saying that.
Mm-hmm. That's a classic.
I've got bigger fish to fry.
Yep.
I feel like I say that on the show a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 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 looked what the cat dragged in.
Okay, here's what's fascinating about this.
Mm-hmm.
We all know these. We all use them from time to time. When's the last time a new one was made up? Like these nonsensical, like none of these make much sense. I don't give a rat's ass. That makes no sense. Like when's the last time someone said something like that and it stuck and now we say it?
Oh, I mean, don't you think with TikTok and Twitter and all that, internet speak kind of trickles down into everyday speak?
Yeah, maybe.
Like we say, well, like clocked is a good example.
Yeah.
I feel like none of us were saying that a couple years ago, and then it became an internet thing, and now we're like, I wasn't even clocking that.
That's true. I thought I was so out of it because I didn't have TikTok at the time, but when Wheeler first joined the show, and he would go, let's go, I really thought he made that up.
Oh.
Like, wow. I thought he had originated that.
Well, that would be amazing if Wheeler came up with that. No, that's a common, like, especially, like, I hate to say it, but, like, little boys say that a lot.
Oh, boy. We've had a theme today. Here, let me give you some advice. If you're ever on this show, if you out there listening ever make it as a castmate on the show, just don't miss a day.
Yeah.
Don't miss a day.
I'm taking vacation at the end of the month, and I'm like, here we go.
No.
That's
Andrew,
where it all comes out.
Andrew will vouch. I know when I'm not here, you guys make fun of me because I'm easy to make fun of and I'm weird and I get it. And it's fine. Totally fine. Andrew, when you're gone, we make fun of you.
Yeah, I know.
When Wheeler's gone, we make fun of him. We never make fun of her.
We should.
Yeah, you should.
But we
don't
do we? Like when she's gone, I don't remember ever sitting around.
That's because I'm boring. I don't do funny things like you guys.
Like total Rachel.
The show changes in different ways though, because the show is definitely different when you're not here. It does definitely turn into, as we say, barking with my dogs.
Yeah.
Like some of the riffs that you will step in and go, we let's change the subject. No one else does.
Yeah, when you were gone,
turns out you're the only one who.
When
does
you
that.
Were in Japan, Steve was getting for real worried. Like yeah. First couple of days, he's like, "Oh, I really miss Rach," and then by the end, he's like, "You guys need to."
But you know, he was sending us all those texts about the show and stuff. It's because it was must listen radio.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
You had no idea what horrible thing we were gonna say next.
Last night, I door dashed some Chinese food and from a new place I'd never heard of at a 4.9 rating, and it was horrible. Absolutely terrible.
Hmm.
Here's my question. And you know, door dashing, anything's like $25. So you just spent $25 on a plate full of food that's terrible. Here's my question. Do you guys eat it?
If I ordered it depends on how terrible, like what was terrible about it.
I mean, it wasn't like, oh my God, I'm going to be, you know, peeing out my butt all night to eat this. It was just like, I don't like this. This isn't good.
You know, I have to say I've been lucky enough. I don't know that I've ever gotten food delivered and been like disgusted by it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty much going to eat it unless it's inedible because of the fact that I just spent all the money on it.
Yeah, I'm typically not that worried about the money I spent, but I ate way too much of it because of that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept thinking, this is so stupid. It's bad. Why? It's making you unhappy.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, if it's making you unhappy, you shouldn't eat it. That's the sunk cost fallacy, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I paid for this, so I have to do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if you're going to be more miserable doing something than not doing something, you can't do it just because you've already invested in it.
My big one with that, as you guys know, I like to go to the ball game by myself on Sundays. And last season, probably half a dozen times, I bought a ticket. I bought a really good ticket, cost a little bit of money. But then Sunday rolled around and I'm like, it'd really be nice to not go. And the times I didn't go were fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I felt like, okay, this was the right move.
I've never, like, on the sunk cost fallacy, I've never, like, not done something for fear of the money that I spent or whatever and regretted it and been like, what a waste, blah, blah. It's always been like, oh, thank goodness, I did not want to do that, and I'm so excited to have my whole Sunday or whatever it is.
Can I just depend on Vic to remind you of something stupid? Vic says, Dave, you ate part of the baby vomit DoorDash. Yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah, but the baby didn't vomit on the DoorDash. Mm-hmm.
That's what I tried to tell Nick.
The baby was vomiting on the lawn.
That was the first time, because we all, if you're old enough, you know that at some point your parents become your children.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time it happened with me and Nick. When the baby delivered our food and was throwing up, and it was Taco Bell, and he turned around, and I was eating a hard shell taco, and he was like, you just need to put that down. And I tried to argue, like, well, you didn't throw up in the bag. He's like, just put it away.
It's 1:44. This time check is brought to you by Paramount Men's Medical Center.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Attorney Brad Young is with us in the next segment or two. Talk about some interesting legal cases. Talk about some politics. Hey, you want to get mad? So I'd never heard of this dude. I guess he runs NASA. His name's Isaacman. And he also is obviously rich because he owns this company that have military jets, but they're privatized. Blah, 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 blah. And he wanted to be a part of the 250th anniversary air show. And so he put in a request to the FAA, and they said no, because you're flying very old military jets. We don't know who your pilots are. It doesn't feel safe. And you're flying them over thousands of people. No. So he called a couple of his buddies in the administration, did a couple hinky things, and showed up anyway and flew. That makes me mad. Guess who flew with him? Todd Blanch. Am I the only one so tired of this, like, Make-A-Wish? Like, Cash Patel and Todd Blanch and, you know, Cash Patel's diving at the Arizona and Todd Blanch is flying illegally in jets over Americans. It's like,
yeah,
it's just bleh.
Yeah, I mean, it is gross, and it's just so blatant and in our face. I don't know if things like this used to happen all of the time and we just didn't know about
it. Right.
But
yeah.
It does feel like either the media is really glomming on and exposing it in a way they didn't in the past. I'm open to that. But it also does feel like it's just very blatantly like, hey, we're in charge and we're going to do exactly what we want because that's the perks of the job.
Speaking of politicos doing stupid things, this one really made me laugh. There's this Republican activist, which I'd never heard those two words back to back, from Florida, who just looks like a you know what. And he was arrested for soliciting an undercover police officer for sex. And the deal they made was $60. Mm. And now he's mad because he's saying everyone deserves a private life, and this is what I do in mine. So just back it up. I'm more caught up in the $60 thing. It's like,
That's quite a defense. Like, hey, stay out of my bedroom. Like, well, you were soliciting what I guess you thought was a sex worker, which that is illegal. So I can't, like, rob a bank and then go, like, whoa, this is my private time.
This is what I do.
Leave me alone. So, I mean, I appreciate the effort, but I don't think it's going to work on this one, sir.
You know who else I'm mad at? Hmm. Squatters. You familiar?
Like, just people who move into houses?
Yes. Okay. You ever get this on TikTok?
No.
See, it's another crazy thing I get on TikTok.
I'm wondering if this is as common of a thing as maybe we're being led to believe it is by the algorithm.
TikTok is changing my reality?
No. I think sometimes, like, the squatters thing, it does feel like, oh my gosh, how do you get these people under control? But then think it through, like, how did they get in that position in the first, how is this happening?
Yeah. I mean, I think people just break into houses and stay.
And how can the law be like, well, they're having a good time. What do you want us to kick them out? They're having so much fun in there.
Yeah. See, I'm 20% WashU Law, 80% South Roxana. Like, I would, if I were in charge, which one day I will be, but if I were in charge and someone's squatting, just go in, drag them out, and beat them to a pulp.
Yeah, I guess it has to be state by state, right, as far as the squatting laws?
Oh, probably.
Because if the squatting thing was as widespread as, like I said, we are led to believe, no one would ever get evicted. But people get evicted all the time.
Yeah, but it takes a really long time. Like months and months and months. Mm. Sometimes a year.
And that's because they need, like, the cops to show up and do it or something?
Oh, yeah, you have to go to court, you have to do this, you have to do that, then you have to get the sheriff, then you have to go there, then you have to that. And, and like, look, I'm not saying for people, I'm a little more sympathetic if you at one point legally were living in this place and then you stop paying rent or whatever, like, okay, you don't get to stay, but I understand we can't just show up and put your, you know, stuff on the lawn. But for squatters?
Yeah, here in Missouri, apparently a squatter can legally claim ownership of a property through adverse possession if they occupy the premises continuously, openly, exclusively, and without the owner's consent for a period of 10 years.
Yeah.
And I guess the reasoning behind that is, hey, you weren't taking care of your property. You didn't look in on it. I've been here this whole time. The property loves me now. I am the property's owner. Which is like, that feels really un-American.
I remember the day I learned about adverse possession.
That feels crazy.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you didn't eat that bag of chips for 2 weeks. It's my bag of chips
like
now.
Like, if you and I lived next door to each other, and I started mowing a 20-foot wide patch of your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for, I thought it was 7 years. And if I did it for 7 years openly and hostily, not meaning like, hey, but just like, hey, I'm doing this and you let me, my understanding was then you could claim that property.
You could claim my property.
Yes. I know.
And so if I came out and I said, hey, don't do that. Like, where's the record of that? That's where it seems to get really murky, right? Is it's like, hey, I've been telling him not to, but we haven't been in like a physical confrontation about it. Oh, have you guys seen Neighbors on HBO?
No, but I would like to very much.
You would love it, Andrew.
Which one is this?
So it's like a docuseries almost, but it's really funny and it's edited really quickly. And it's some, the production companies, they do a really good job. And it's basically just disputes between neighbors.
Oh, God, that would
like
make me so.
All over the country. It's really funny and really good. You should check it out.
So it's funny?
Yes, extremely.
I don't know, Rachel. Yesterday, Wheeler made it pretty clear that horror shows can't be funny. So I don't know how they're doing that.